And I want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you've done for us, but also for missionaries all over the world. It is very evident that you love missionaries. And I don't know what the pastor has done. I don't know what your missions committee has done. But you have something here that you don't see in every church. You have people in your church, common, ordinary, everyday people who are willing to sacrifice to help missionaries out, whether it's missionaries on the field or those of us home on furlough or missionaries on deputation. And you'll never know what that means to us. And you are all, each one, each individual here, you are as important to the cause of world missions as any of us who are actually on the field. And I just want to say thank you. You do not know what that means. You do not know how many dark days you have on the field and you think nobody cares what I'm here in the middle of. Because we do. We really feel like we're in the middle of nowhere sometimes. Cut off from everybody. And I know in this day and age we have great means of communication that helps. But to know during those days that somebody is at home and somebody is behind us, we thank you. And I always love when I have the opportunity to specifically address young people. And I heard it said in the Sunday school classroom that we were in this morning at a church. My husband taught teens. Actually, it was the junior church or the teen church to a bunch of us kids. And the teacher stood up and said, the decisions you make as a young person today will affect where you are when you're 30, 35, 40 years old. And that is so, so true. I cannot impress upon you the importance of making the right decisions now while you're young. And you know, you're sitting here in church on a Sunday night. You know what kind of decisions to make. You know how to follow the Lord. And it's not that I'm anything special. In fact, if I could leave you here today with any thoughts, I want you to realize that I am just common, ordinary. Ask Lori, ask Amanda. They came to Africa, a group of eight young people with our field director and his wife at the time. And about 2 days into it, they looked at us and they said, hey, you guys are just real. And we're like, gee, thanks, you know. We had fun, we cut up, we played games, and we're just normal, common, everyday people. And when I was about 14 or 15 years old, I was saved at an early age, and I saw missionaries come through our church. As the pastor said, I sat in conferences like this, and I thought, hey, that is cool. I want to do that. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and I just said, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm the awfulest decision maker. Even today, to the worst, tiniest little detail, I don't know how to make decisions, but it's because I'm so afraid of making a wrong decision. But that has helped me because it's helped me rely on the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but you just make my decisions for me. And so as I saw those missionaries come by, I said, hey, I want to do that. And then when really the Lord confirmed it in my heart through several different messages, yeah, I do want you to do that. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Forget I said anything because I can't do that. like he said, I'm just a little old girl from Jefferson, Georgia, grew up on Old Swimming Pool Road. And I don't know who thought of that road name, but I get sick of everywhere I go and they say, what's your address? And you say, Old Swimming Pool Road. And they're like, what? And back then it was dirt. I mean, it was just, you know, the middle of nowhere was Jefferson, Georgia. But, you know, the Lord calls us wherever we are and he uses us. I don't think of myself as anybody special. I don't have special talents or abilities. I'm just a normal person. And when the Lord impressed upon my heart to go into missions, I said, Lord, I really don't know if you know what you're doing, because I can't do that. It's just not me. I don't know how to talk to people. I'm not super spiritual. I really wasn't. But I love the Lord, and I wanted to do what he wanted. And the burden grew so much stronger, and I prayed about it for a few days. And it was finally at NGM camp, and I know you're all familiar with NGM camp. That's one of the ways that I had no missionaries so well, through the missionaries that came through and many life-changing decisions I made there. But that particular year, I couldn't question it anymore. I knew that's what the Lord. In fact, I went into the week knowing that's what the Lord wanted me to do, but I really wanted to be sure. So I prayed about it several days. And finally, about Thursday, the camp started on Monday, about Thursday, I finally surrendered. And I didn't know at the time how to get where I wanted to go. And one of my counselors said, you need to take a mission trip, and I'm going to pray for you today for the Lord to just open all the doors. And, you know, it's a long story how he did all that, but he did. And I'm on the mission field today, and sometimes I do get discouraged, and I have rough days, and I think, here I am in West Africa, and it's hot, and I'm miserable. But, you know, for the most part, I'm living out my dream. God put this burden in my heart, and I'm so unworthy to get to be there serving him. And so I want to encourage you young people, if the Lord has put something on your heart to do for him, stick to that. I grew up in church. I continued even going. I went to a public college, and I stayed faithful to church. And people would come up to me all the time and say, "Hey, have you met so-and-so? He's a good Christian, and he's a good youth director, and you ought to meet him." And I said, "He's not a missionary. I don't want to meet him." And the Lord just put that on my heart and gave me such a burden. And I guess I get this hard head from my dad, and he'll even tell you that, those of you who know my dad, Tim Land. But the Lord even used that for his purposes in my life, because all through those years, I stuck to that dream that the Lord gave me. And I encourage you as young people, just give your lives to him and tell him you'll be willing to do whatever. And people looking at Rebecca Land growing up in Jefferson probably said, "Hey, you won't ever do very much." But it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I don't know if I shared these verses the last time I came, but in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." It's not what I can do. It's not what you can do. But he looks down and he sees a willing heart, and he can use it. And I don't know if anybody ever thought I'd be where I am today. I dreamed it, but I didn't know I'd be living in West Africa of all places. I never would have dreamed, though, the things that he has done in our lives, the things he has allowed us to see. And I just want to share a quick testimony of a lady in our church. Because, you know, the Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And I know as a Christian, my outward appearance, yes, it ought to reflect my heart. But I'm guilty of that, too, sometimes. I look on the outward appearance of these people coming in our churches, and I say, "Oh, well, that person, they'll count for something. That person, they might not." You know, we kind of do that, even those of us in the ministry, those who come into our church. And we had this lady named Eveline that came to our church in Burkina Faso. Young lady, had a young child at the time. And at that time, we were working on digging the foundations for our current church building. And we asked our church people to come and help if they could. And she came very faithfully. But the problem with Eveline, the way she was dressed, this tight top she wore, and I just thought, and she even wore a shirt that said Sexy 70 on it when she came to work at church. And I debated, should I share that with you or not? It's a little too vulgar. But that's what her shirt said, y'all, when she came to work at church. And I'm like, "Oh, my goodness, how do I handle this one?" And she kept wearing that shirt to come work. And I thought, okay, I've got to talk to her. How do I talk to her? And, you know, I looked at her, and I looked at what her shirt said, and I looked at what she was wearing, and I said, "I don't know about this woman. I don't know what the Lord can do with her." But that's what some of you young people might look at you and say, "I don't know if there's much potential in that person." And I was judging her based on what I saw. Many years later, she's been faithful to our church, and I began to talk to her. Do you know that that word happens to mean the same thing in French, which is the national language in Burkina Faso? But, you know, Eveline didn't even know that. And I didn't know she didn't know that. But I just judged her based on what I saw. And later, many years later, I explained to her, because I'm friends with her now. I said, "Do you realize what you wore to church one day?" And she said, I did have a lady of the church talk to her and explain to her, but I never approached it. I had another spiritual lady in the church that could explain to her in her tribal tongue, maybe this isn't good for wearing to church. So now when I go back and I talk to her, she just laughs about it. And she said, "You know, I had no idea." Well, Eve remained faithful to church, and she began to change and get a little closer to the Lord. And that woman that I looked at and said, "I just don't know about her. I don't know. Why won't she quit wearing that if she's going to come to church? And I just don't know if she's going to count for anything." Well, she's been through so much in her life. She had a child at the time, but then later she had a second daughter. And when I was in the hospital, right after I had had our fourth child in Burkina Faso, Caleb, I was still in the hospital, about to go home, and we received word that her daughter that was 4 months old, the second daughter, had died. And my husband had to leave the hospital. He was with me, and he had to leave and go take care of burying that baby. It was very sad, very devastating, but you know what? Eve didn't give up. She kept coming to church faithfully with a smile on her face. And then a few months later, she was crossing the street after, in fact, coming to church to help. We had a church cleaning day. The ladies all come and pitch in to help clean the church. And she was going home, and as she was going home, her second daughter almost ran out in front of a car, and she ran back to get her, and Eve was hit by a car. and she was paralyzed at the time, rushed to the hospital. And when I called her on the phone, she said, "Oh, I'm okay, no problem." My husband and I went to see her, and from the way she had talked on the phone, I thought, oh, she's okay, she's going to be up now at the hospital. She had a neck brace on and was not even moving. And I thought, oh, my goodness. But my husband talked to her, and she said, "You know, I might never walk again. I might never move again, but I have my voice, and I can praise the Lord." In her darkest moment, that lady that I said wouldn't amount to anything, I told her, I tell her all the time, "Your life is the strongest message I have ever heard preached." You know, the Lord took me, Miss Know-It-All, to go way across over to West Africa to learn something from one of the believers in our churches. And she did continue to praise the Lord. Gradually, she got feeling back in her fingers, and she could move her fingers. Then she could move her toes. Until today, she can stand before our church and, well, she can walk up there on her own, and she can sing, and she can move. The only problem she has today is she can barely turn to one side because of her neck. She's got a little, like, glitch right there. But you know what? Even if the Lord had not restored her health, I believe she'd still be praising Him. And I praise the Lord for her attitude. One day I was having a bad day. It was hot. The power was cut. The water was cut. And I was so mad. Just that life. I was miserable. My husband came home, and I said, "I just don't know if I can take this anymore." And he said, "Why don't you just get out of the house, go figure out something to do in the ministry?" And I was so mad at him. Because I wanted to be miserable, and I wanted him to be miserable with me. Well, going to see Eve, this particular lady, always made me feel better. So I have a little bike over there. I pedaled to her house, and she was living in the time in a hut made out of mud bricks. And she had no running water, no electricity. And she said, "You know what? I praise the Lord for giving me back my health, because I can wash my own clothes now." I'm not talking about she throws them in a washing machine and then it's done in 20 minutes and then she throws it in the dryer and it's done. She's washing them by hand. She's hanging them out to dry. And it's hard work. And she was praising the Lord that she had the help to work and cook for her family and wash her clothes. And I was stabbed in the heart. I said, "Oh my, here I have life so easy for me." And I just wanted to encourage you with her story, to remind you that, you know, she turned out probably to be one of the most spiritual women of our church. But I looked at her and I said, God's not going to pick her to really do something great. And maybe in our eyes, she's not done anything great by this world's standards. But her testimony speaks so strongly to me. And you as young people, and even if you're not a young person, I guess we're all young at heart, because I'm getting away from those years faster than I want to. He has something for us all to do, and he has something special, whether you're out on the job, whether you're at home homeschooling your kids or taking your kids, dropping them off at school, whether you're a man on the job, whoever you are, wherever you are, he has something special he wants to do with your life. Thank you.